Tim and Cindy, thank you so much for your participation earlier and each participant in this time. This has been a very, very pleasant experience for all of us, hasn't it? It's a unifying experience. I cannot tell you how honored Roberta and I feel in being here with you today. And I will be saying this from time to time, but it's just a joy. And I know I'm repeating myself, but we love you. We care. We're interested. We support you. Anything else we can ever do, we want to do that. And I feel very honored to be in this particular role that we have today. Now, I began to realize that Billy Graham was seated in a restaurant several years ago. Some of you heard me mention this before, maybe. And while sitting in the restaurant, a man came by and began to rob everyone in this restaurant except Billy Graham. It's Charlotte, North Carolina. He was just there eating. And again, this man was robbing everyone except Billy Graham. And again, this robber kept going from table to table, robbing everyone except Billy Graham. And the man was leaving, and Billy Graham looked at the robber and said, "Aren't you going to rob me?" The robber said, "No, we Baptists have got to stick together." I like it. Is that okay? Hey, you have, thank you. I'll have a dozen of those. You all have stuck together. Did you hear that? Not only do you have a superb, wonderful pastor preacher whom we celebrate 20 years. Gee whiz. He's been here a long time. My mother used to roll me up in a baby carriage. I used to hear him preach when I was just a child, really. He looks real young. Hey, friends, underneath that mask, hey, he's 112, really. I should be nice to you. Now, we celebrate this 20th again, 20 years. Tim, I don't know the latest statistics on the longevity of pastoring, but dear friends, 20 years. Many pastorates may be anywhere from 2 years, 18 months, 15 months, 20 years. I'm not trying to scare you, friend, when I say that, but that's wonderful, you know? I want to say that over and over again, and I want to come back to this. Now, I've also learned there's a lot of anniversaries you don't want to forget. One is the anniversary, 20th anniversary, but I want to say about your marriage and your wedding anniversary, too. You don't want to forget that. I read this week. Did you read this? A man forgot his wedding anniversary. His name was Ed. Ed was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary. His wife was really mad. She told him, "Tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds, and that better be there." The next morning, Ed got up early, left for work. When his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a small box, gift wrapped, in the middle of the driveway. Confused, the wife put on her robe, ran out to the driveway, brought the box back in the house. She opened it and found a brand new bathroom scale. You haven't heard the last of this article. Funeral services for Ed have been scheduled for... I couldn't pass that up. Was that okay, John? I thought John was going to run me out of here, you know. Now, very simply, you didn't come here to read the reports from different things. You didn't do this. Robert and I feel very much at home here. You all are so warm and friendly, and we look forward to every chance that we can be here. I was in church the other day, and I was standing at the door, and the lady said, "You have a piece of Kleenex. It's on your face." I said, "What?" She said, "You have a piece of Kleenex on your face." I explained to her, "This morning while shaving, I was thinking about my sermon, and I cut my face." She responded, "Do us all a favor next Sunday and think about your face and cut your sermon." Well, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? Warm and fuzzy all over. Okay, I need to get serious, though, shouldn't I? Let me do this. If I could do this. Now, again, I feel there's a passage of Scripture that's very apropos. Besides, I think it's very appropriate. Here, as we come in describing this gentleman, now I kid him a lot, and you kid people you love, you know that. And I kid him a lot, but I do want to speak from my heart to yours. I've been privileged to know John more than 20 years. But during this particular time, we see 20 years here in this wonderful, lovely church building. Oh my goodness, Robert and I walked in here, and it's just wonderful what you have done. And I'll be saying more about this in his leadership. I believe there's a passage of Scripture that I use a lot, and I unapologetically I come back to it again. And if you have your Bibles, if you do not have a Bible, I happen to have one here with me this morning. I would like to read if I may, from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, as I read God's word. And as we look at this particular passage again, let me read with your indulgence, and I will be very brief, I promise. But in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, let me read this King James translation. "And this I pray," we know there's a prayer forthcoming, "that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment, that you may prove things that are excellent," and look at this, "that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." Now, dear friends, I was using the King James translation there. I think it's so appropriate to see this particular passage of Scripture indeed describes our friend John. Been here these 20 years, and I went and read it again. And it's really, I can almost say, an x-ray of his ministry and his life. Now, would you be seated, please? First of all, let's look here for just a second, and I'm going to be very informal if you'll let me do this morning. The first thing is to listen to here in this particular passage, and by the way, you know the background of this. Paul's writing the people and Philippians, and he's gone through a horrendous experience and different things. Not that this happened to dear John at all. I'm not saying that at all. But he was talking about the embodiment of ministry and its work, and I feel that when he wrote this particular passage, he was thinking of John. Now, let me, first of all, Paul says, number one, love. The word love, this is so much a part of all that he does. You see this in his family life. You see it in every area. The theme of love, I'd be remiss if I did not mention this. Now, I could not help but ask Phil to help me on something here. I asked his staff, I'm going to talk about love. That's the first ingredient here. Now, we put this peg in the ground, this love that's found here in Philippians. Now, I asked Phil to help me to get some of the staff members to give me a word that would describe their pastor and the love they have for Brother John. Listen to this. Jeremy McKeag, and Jeremy, would you stand when I call your name? Music minister. Hey, you did a good job today. Good music. Jeremy McKeag, music minister, the word he gave to describe John. Now, here comes this love. You got it? Everybody with me? Here it comes. Steadfast. That has strength, does it? Remain standing there, Jeremy. You don't mind, do you? It's okay. Thank you. I'll make sure he meant that, you know. Phil Emick. Phil, am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Okay. Phil, if you would stand, please. He's standing. All right. Listen to the word that he used. He's your associate pastor. The word he used in the area, again, is love. I'm describing. He used the word leader. Leader. Isn't that apropos? Susan Merritt, ministry assistant. Susan, would you stand, please? There she is. Susan Merritt, ministry assistant. Listen to this. She used the word bridge builder. Can't you see all these are word pictures of your wonderful pastor, aren't they? Terry Meckle. Am I pronouncing that last name right? Meckle, did I say that right? Terry. There you are, Terry. And the blue over there. Gotcha. Terry. Oh, listen to this, the chair of the deacon body, listen to the terms he used here. He used the term Christ-like. Christ-like. Listen to that. If you all remain standing, now, I took the liberty, and you other family members, I didn't get to you all beforehand, but other family members, you don't mind if I mention those from whom I did get words. Is that okay? And they're all saying yes. Thank you. Ashley Crowder, daughter. Ashley, would you stand up, dear? You don't mind doing that. You know the word that she gave to describe her father? Hero. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't every parent and grandparent like to have children that would say hero? You got it? Now, Lisa Crowder, wife. Now, Lisa, how long have you been playing the instrument here in the church? What'd she say? She says Noah was a baby. What did she say? No, that means that there's an age factor there. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. No. Okay, Ashley Crowder, let's get back to, Lisa, excuse me. Lisa Crowder, listen to the word that this dear spouse, how long have y'all been married? I'm sorry to mean to wake you up there, John. 26. How many? 26 years. Now listen to what listen to the word that she gives for her word that she has chosen, genuine. Don't you like that? Authentic. Isn't that great? Now, John's mother, Lenora, didn't I see her here a moment ago? There she is. Now, listen to the words that she gave here, and words like this as a mother. Dedicated and committed. Isn't that wonderful? And others of you who are family members, I was unable to get your word, and I'm sure your word would be apropos to the occasion. But would you do this? Would you applaud them as they stand now, please? Okay. Now, the next thing, you're very responsive. Thank you for being so responsive. Now, in the theme of love, remember, we're still talking about this area of love found in Philippians. Everybody still with me? Everybody still awake? Now, if you joined the church the last 20 years, we know that many have joined, many have left, some have passed away. But in some way, you joined the church either by baptism or transfer membership or other ways you may join the church. During this 20-year period, would you stand, please? Would you do this, please? Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Chill bumps are running out down my spine. Look at this. Now, everybody remain standing. You all, I could quit right now and someone said, that's a good idea, Paul. No. But did you know, really, what a testimony. John, did you see this? Lisa? What a testimony of these years here. Now, if you all remain standing, you don't mind remaining standing, do you? I'll be real brief, I promise. Now, you all are ones who have joined the church during that 20-year period, and we know this doesn't represent John everyone because many of whom have passed away and many who moved elsewhere. Now, if John performed a wedding ceremony in your family or maybe performed your wedding ceremony, would you raise your hands, please, at this time? Okay, look, there's a lot of hands here. Okay? Now, if he officiated a funeral for your family, perhaps recently or during that 20-year period, signify by, look at this. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. And if I ask you to raise your hand if he visits you in a hospital or home, I'm sure, again, a flood of hands will go in the air. John, why I'm saying this, friend, sometimes in ministry we have a lot on the platter, a lot going on. And I think it's so rewarding, John, as I stand here and see these people standing here whose lives you have touched in a very personal, personal way. Let's give John a big hand again. Would you just please? Okay. All right, you may be seated now. Now, let me move on here. I will say a little about the explosion under this topic of love. In the scripture, so much has already been said, but it's very difficult not to allude to this quite often because of what happened. I talked to John the night of the actual explosion. His dear mother gave me his phone number, and I caught on the telephone then, the night of the actual explosion. John was in his car, I believe, and then you could sense his commitment to be used by God in this very, very tenuous, precarious moment in the life of the church. Now, how he, your staff, and church family have been an integral part of this entire scenario. Every staff member, you hear what I'm saying, this love. The love, I mentioned a while ago, conducting funerals, visitation, hospital, nursing facilities, homes following the explosion. Recently, he was speaking at a Waco Association. You remember, Tim, when he reflected on this in one of the pastor's conference. I was so touched. John not only was bragging on you, dear parishioners, but he kept referring to emotionally how it affected people emotionally as well as practical matters, along with concern for their homes and all in all. His love also for his dear family. Again, I applaud the family. Quickly, let me go to number two here. He understood what is basic in life. That's what the scripture said. Everybody hear me? He understands what's basic in life. Scripturally, I know this. I've heard him preach. His sermons are Bible-based sermons, understood by all, and he's such a good communicator. While he was working on his doctorate, I was privileged to be with him during this particular time. He always demonstrated, let me use this word, a servant's heart. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? Many have reflected on the wonderful sincerity, the authenticity, his commitment. And again, I talk about his test in our preaching ministry, not necessarily the outline, but again, we could see his love, his support, and all his teaching ministry, preaching ministry. You know, I believe so much, and John, if I could just pause and be very personal here. So many times we as ministers in the pulpit, and we're going from Sunday to Sunday, we do not always know how the sermons touch and reach people. John, you need to know this, friend. People applaud your preaching and reflect back on how wonderful your preaching is. I think one of the best tests of a man's sermon is when you sit down in your car and you get ready to turn the key on the ignition and you say, I know that gentleman in the pulpit loves me and cares. And you know that John Crowder loves you and cares. Say that over and over again. Understand what is basic. Okay? Now, we talk about love. Understand what is basic in life. Let me just inject one thing. At Dallas Baptist University, there's a statue of Christ holding a basin and washing feet of disciples, distributing a servant's heart. May I use that word? Diakonos, servant. That is a part of John. He could be, he could emulate and can and does emulate the life of Christ there. Basic and loud. Then one other area, here it comes, sincere and authentic. The scriptures say they love one another, understand what's basic and vital. What's a good word for sincere? It means one definition is to be proven the full light of the sun, to show authenticity. Another definition for sincere is sincere. And I don't care this too literally, what I'm getting ready to say here, John, but sincere, now don't throw anything at me, means without wax. Now let me explain. What do you mean, Paul? When furniture was imported from England to America, sometimes people would inadvertently knock a crack into the furniture and they put wax and fill in the gaping hole. But about 2 or 3 weeks later, when the furniture had been delivered, what happened? The heat of Texas caused the wax to dissipate, and people say, this isn't genuine, this isn't authentic, and therefore we come back to the word sincera, without wax. I do not know anywhere in the world where that's more appropriate in describing John's life, the authenticity he has there. I was privileged to be, not to talk about me, his field supervisor while he was working on his doctor's degree. And I remember then, as Ron Cook and others saw the authenticity that he had over and over again, and I cannot say this enough. Let me say this. John has always been most active in Waco Baptist Association, as Tim mentioned a moment ago, serving in a voluminous amount of responsibilities. Among these, he preached the annual sermon, 2002. Was it right here? I believe it was. I can't remember. Western Heights. He preached the annual sermon, 2002. He was moderator of the association during the year 2000, plus a voluminous amount of other things. He's done the pastor's conference in other areas. Now, again, I'm focusing in and sincere and authentic. Everybody with me? Everyone is imparted John. In other words, the ground is leveled across. He's authentic. If he's talking with children, have you noticed how they gravitate to him? When he's talking to adults, how they gravitate to him? Whether it's a vacation Bible school or deacon's meeting. And I was wondering and I was trying to find out a little about the building program and what has happened and what is going to take place. And John is very modest. And I said, John, do you mind giving me some material here that I could bring us updated on this about the building program? What you've done here is remarkable, what you've done here. And again, John is very modest, and I almost had to pull this from him, but he graciously gave it to me. Listen to this. You know this, but listen to this. John, there'd be a zillion churches today that would like to have this type of record you have here. Listen to this. During 2002, we built a new sanctuary, 3 new Sunday school rooms for children, and we remodeled the old sanctuary into more Sunday school rooms. The project allowed us to triple our worship space and double the education space. Now listen to this, friends. The first song we sang in the new sanctuary was, what? We are standing on holy ground. Oh my goodness, how it resonates even today, doesn't it? The first service of this sanctuary was held before it was complete. Even before there was carpet on the floor or paint on the walls, we invited the community to join us for a special service September the 11th, 2002, to commemorate the 1-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Our first Sunday school worship was held on November the 17th, 2002. We officially dedicated the sanctuary, listen to this, in February of 2003. We sold church bonds to pay for most of the $1 million project. And we, listen to this, and we plan on taking 15 years to pay off these bonds, but we were able to pay them off in half the time. Now, friends, that's almost heard of. After 7.5 years, Everything was paid for. Now we're working on a major renovation program, the entire facility, except the sanctuary is getting a facelift. In addition to major repairs on the old sanctuary and the pipes that run under the building, almost every room will get new floors, new paint, new ceilings. This new project is going to cost around $500,000, and we will be able to pay for all of it without any debt. Y'all, this is remarkable. And John, if I could say this again, there are many churches today would be envious of a record like this. Now, come back to me just briefly, please. The devastating explosion in West occurred on a Wednesday night. I suspect that everyone here could tell me what you were doing at that time. On the following Saturday night, John and I had a telephone visit on the phone. He said, "Paul, pray for us Sunday. They've asked me to lead the services, Sunday services. Pray for me." When Sunday morning came, John could not hold services in the church because of devastation. You remember that? He did not have his usual Sunday suit. He did not have his own Bible, but they put folding chairs in a hayfield. John, in blue jeans with a borrowed Bible, stood on the back of a flatbed trailer and preached God's word because he would not let his dream die. Now, I believe the Lord had prepared John the last 20 years for this very, very special moment. And knowing John like I do, he will continue to say, "I will not let our dreams die." Because you love John and I love John, I've asked, and Brother Phil is going to come here and present him to us as we can express to Brother John our love and appreciation for these wonderful 20 years. John, we love you, we care, we support you. Anything we can ever do to show that love and support, let us know. And Phil, if you'd come forward, please, for this very special, special moment.